With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Amit Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms. And on YouTube, like and subscribe there as well. We continue our deep dive into all the prospects in terms of coaching candidates for the Toronto Raptors. And we arrive at Jordy Fernandez. He's an assistant with the Sacramento Kings. Highly touted, highly skilled, and joining me to talk about it today, Tony Kenyamaris. He writes for Mundo Deportivo. I'm sorry if I messed that up. It's a newspaper in Spain. So clearly, he's got some invested interest into Jordy Fernandez. How are you, man? Thanks so much for joining me.
How are you, Amit? No, thanks a lot to you for thinking of me to talk about Jordy Fernandez. I know that right now there are a lot of candidates to be the Raptors head coach, but I'm looking forward that Jordy Fernandez be the new head coach because, you know, moreover, Raptors are very known in Spain to be an organization with a long tradition of Spanish players.
Yeah,
you know, Carvajosa, José Manuel Calderón, obviously Marc Gasol and Sergi Ibaka, they were part of the ring. Sergio Scariolo, that, I mean, he's Italian, but he's almost Spanish because he has been coaching the Spanish national team for a lot of years. Juan Hernan Gómez, he has played in Raptors this season. So why not continuing this tradition of Spanish people with Jordy Fernandez?
100%. We may have to have a conversation about Sergio as well, because I believe he is also a candidate for this job. So we touch base with you next week or something like that. But however, let's focus on Jordy Fernandez. So right off the top, why do you think the Raptors are interested in making him potentially their head coach?
Yeah, actually, well, Jordy Fernandez, he has not been head coach yet in the NBA. But he has been around the league for 10 years. He has worked in players development in Cleveland Cavaliers. He even was part of the coaching staff of Cavaliers that won the ring in 2016. He has been 6 years in the coaching staff of Michael Malone in Denver Nuggets, working with Nikola Jokic. And now, especially this season, he has been the main assistant coach of Mike Brown in Sacramento Kings. And it's not just for his experience, but also because he's a very creative coach, he's a strong communicator, he has a doctorate in psychology. Other thing is that he has a lot of experience working with young players because he was the head coach of the G League team of Cleveland Cavaliers, the Canton Charge. He has worked, as I said, in players development. I don't know if actually is maybe we can consider it a sign of fate, but in December when Sacramento Kings came to play here, Jordy Fernandez, he became the first head coach in NBA because if you remember, Mike Brown was ejected in the game.
He lost his mind.
Yeah, he lost his mind. He went into the floor to protest.
That was wild.
Of the referee. Yeah. I don't know if it was a technical foul or something like that. I went to bed that night at 5 a.m., you know, because it was a historical day for the Spanish basketball. So who knows? Let's see.
Definitely. So the PhD in sports psychology, that's interesting for a coach with the basketball background. And, you know, we talk about him being a great communicator. How does that degree, inform his ability to communicate with players?
Yeah, well, it's a thing. For example, I remember yesterday Juancho spoke in an event in Spain. Juancho, actually, he's a very close person to Jordy because actually he's the godfather of the two kids of Jordy Fernandez. So they are really close friends. Oh. And As well, other thing is that Juancho, he was playing a few years in Denver Nuggets, so he was working with Jordi Fernandez. And one thing that Juancho highlighted in the conversation of yesterday is that Jordi Fernandez is a great communicator, but at the same time, he knows what is the limit with the players. I mean, he knows what is the right moment to tell the players something, so the players don't feel overwhelmed, you know. So that I would think of Jordi Fernandez. He's a very creative with the drills. Is a thing that the players highlight from him as well. You saw the video when Kings came here in Toronto in December and they won. Jordi Fernandez went into the locker room. I mean, the players showered him with champagne. And I mean, when the players have a reaction like that with a coach, I think that it's pretty meaningful about how the players loves a coach.
Yeah, and you got Michael Malone from his past saying that he will one day be a head coach in the league. Mike Brand, as you mentioned, has also said that he could be ready right now, I believe, for the Atlanta job that eventually went to Quinn Snyder. He was in the running for it. And Mike Brown, leading into it, had only good things to say about Jordy, saying he deserves this and it's going to come. And, aside from basketball, you want this for good people. And Jordy is a good person.
Of course.
So with Jordy then, I mean, he's worked with a lot of different players. I recall there was a situation with Keegan Murray this past season, you know, during Summer League, where the first play of the first game, he had asked Keegan, you know, where do you like the ball? Where do you want to score from? And he said the left corner. And like the first play of the first Summer League game for the Kings, he designed a play for Keegan Murray. It was like a double drag play where he was supposed to, you know, flare out to the baseline for a wide open three, and the play worked and he hit it. It's like things like that. And also, you know, looking at some of the games that he did coach in the NBA, one of them was a loss. And afterwards he was saying that, you know, I have to do a better job of making sure I'm preparing these guys and giving them a chance to succeed, was essentially what he was saying. So he's accountable, and it's all about, you know, what can I do to help them? How can I help these players win the game? And I think that's really valuable. It's like that player coach communication that he seems to really excel at.
In terms of basketball style, he's the defensive specialist in the Sacramento Kings. I remember when Kings came here, I asked Domantas Sabonis about Jordy, and he insists a lot about defense. He paid a lot of attention to all the defensive details. Mm-hmm. And in terms of basketball style, I think that Jordy Fernandez, I think, fits with the Raptors games, with the Raptors identity, because for example, this detail, the different plays with handoffs is a thing that is a trait that defines the philosophy, the Sacramento Kings philosophy, right?
With
the Domantas Sabonis, actually. For example, if you remember, in the first round of playoffs, one of the things that drew the attention the most from everybody was like Warriors were letting Domantas Sabonis alone in the elbow. To put the focus in chasing the players that were coming off the screens. Jordy, I mean, he's very focused in taking advantage from the centers with a very high basketball IQ, which is a thing that Raptors have. Jakob Poeltl are very high basketball IQ. So I think that Jordy Fernandez would be able to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Another thing, I mean, the transitions, for example, because Sacramento Kings, they have known this season because they have been a team that have played really quick, attacking in the early possessions, very powerful in transitions, and at the same time is another identity trait that you can see in the Raptors. If I'm not wrong, this last season, I mean. The last season of Raptors, it has not been good, but I mean, if I'm not wrong, Raptors, they have been the first team in scoring after forcing turnovers.
Yeah.
So things like that, the handoff, the fact of taking advantage of the centers with very high basketball IQ, the fact to be able to take advantage of the transitions. I mean that that are identity traits that fit with the Raptors philosophy.
Yeah, definitely. And with someone like, you know, a Jakob Poeltl, a Scotty Barnes too, who also had a bit of a dribble handoff role before Jakob Poeltl arrived, you get excited about, you know, what Jordi Fernández could do with those two and how you could still, you know, tap into that even more than they did last season. We only saw the early glimpses of this kind of process with a Jakob Poeltl. I mean, even he said, you know, that my role with the Raptors is different than the one with the Spurs. And it was much more offensively oriented with the Spurs than it was with the Raptors. With the Raptors, it was more like he wasn't necessarily a hub for offense. He was, you know, at times he was, and him and OG and Anobi and some of those horns plays, the flex plays, they were able to find some chemistry, but you want to see more of that. And the difference between the Raptors and Kings right now is, like, you know, the Kings have a lot better shooters, and we hope that is addressed with the Raptors during the offseason. But even still, you know, player movement, ball movement has to improve with whatever the Raptors next iteration of the Raptors is. And also defensively, I mean, we were talking about him being kind of the lead defensive coach for the Sacramento Kings. And then we're like, well, going into the playoffs, their defense wasn't great. However, you get excited about how they're able to game plan against the Golden State Warriors and how successful they were. They were pretty close to winning that series.
Very close.
Yeah, right. And very defensively, close. They were able to, you know, I mean, Steph Curry is going to do Steph Curry things sometimes, but they were able to, you know, really take away some things from the Warriors, and they were that close, as I said. So you can see that he can game plan against the team. You know, when it comes to a playoff series, he can make that happen. And then you add in some of his traits as an offensive coach, what his style is in terms of his ability to, you know, get a team through a series, then you get excited about that as well.
Sacramento Kings, they have not been among the best defensive teams in the league. Actually,
no.
they have been the best offensive team in the regular season. Actually, they have recorded the highest offensive rating in the history.
Yeah.
But they have not been the best team in the defensive end. But they have been among the best 10 teams defensively in the last quarter. So I think that is a very, very interesting thing because, for example, is an identity trait that defines.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And Denver Nuggets as well. Denver Nuggets, maybe they don't have the best defense in the NBA, but they know how to push harder in defense to win the game.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that it's a thing that that you have missed in the Raptors in this season, because Raptors they have slowed down, especially in the last quarter. So
they did.
I think it's a very interesting detail. If you are able to push harder in the decisive moments of the game, in the clutch moments, mm-hmm. I think that would be a very positive thing for Raptors.
Yeah, and having multiple ways to win games. Too much over this past season. It was, if they weren't able to get the stops, then things were going to go out the window and they're probably going to lose the game. Fred VanVleet has said many times that, you know, nowadays you probably have to be able to put up 120 points to be able to win NBA games. Now, you don't want every game to be up there, but I think there is something to that, that you have to be able to win in different ways. Sometimes if a game is 100 or 98 points, you got to be able to win that. And it's a different kind of style which is required to win that game versus a game where it's in the 120s. And I think that's something that the Raptors have to kind of get better at, is being able to win in multiple different ways. And that's scheming, that's pace, yeah, that's flow. And also it's being able to understand what is required at a certain juncture of a game. What kind of game is it? And how are we going to make sure we win that style of game? It can't always just be so focused in one way. You know, who is Pep Guardiola? Who
is that? Pep Guardiola, because I don't know if someone is asking you about Pep Guardiola. Actually, yeah. Pep Guardiola and Jordi Fernandez, they are close friends as well. They are close friends. Pep Guardiola obviously is the Manchester City coach. Yeah. In my opinion, he's the best soccer coach in the world. Uh-huh. I think if you like soccer, I think that right now is pretty hard seeing other team that be so complete, so versatile as Manchester City. Very solid team, and yes, Guardiola, as I said, they have a close relationship. Guardiola actually went to Cleveland to watch the finals in 2016, mm-hmm. The finals between Cleveland and Warriors. That as I told before, Jordi Fernandez was part of this coaching staff, of the title, yeah, coaching staff that won the ring in 2016. We are talking about two different sports like basketball and soccer, but Jordi Fernandez, he likes to take things from other sports like Guardiola, yeah, for example. Guardiola is he has been a coach known for his curiosity to take other things from other sports, as chess, as even volleyball. For example, we've been talking now about Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr, he has always been a coach, has tried to learn things from other sports. Actually,
yeah,
he has more than one time he has mentioned the example of the Barça Guardiola, because in the sense that to be able to keep passing the ball until you are able to get the best look. This is a philosophy. This is a thing that identifies Jordi Fernandez as well. This curiosity to learn things from another sports. Yes.
Yeah. And Nick Nurse had this trait too, where it was very creative, but it was more so on the defensive end that he got very creative. You know, remember boxing one against Steph Curry, and also the innovative defenses he's used to shut down star players. And there's a quote here from Malik Monk on some of the drills that Fernandez has made them do with the Kings. And he said, it's just random. And the game of basketball is random. It's like, yeah, man, I like Jordy.
Yeah. I think that he was explaining that one day to try to work out the deflections, Jordi Fernandez, mm-hmm, put the players to run ladders while he was throwing them tennis balls toward the quick reactions to improve the deflections. And I think we are talking about a kind of drills that define the creativity of Jordi as a coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are in an NBA team, your teammates, the coaching staff is your main family. You spend more time with them than with your family and your real family, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very important to be innovative, to make the players have fun all the time. Yeah, to make that the players don't feel that they are going through a very boring routine that indeed a lot of time it's the main disadvantage, right? That when the players feel that they are in a kind of routine and they are doing the same all the days, and that, yeah, is a thing that can be tiring for the players, can burn them out.
Yeah, and it's cool that Mike Brown and him, they formed this connection like many moons ago. It was like 15 years ago, and it just happened through, I believe it was Jordy Fernandez was working at a basketball academy, and Mike Brown's yes. son was there, and he was intrigued by the drills he had some of the kids going through. And just right from there, that's where this started, the journey between Jordy Fernandez and Mike Brown. Now, they've gone their separate ways at times. You know, Mike Brown had a job with the Cavaliers. He got let go. As we mentioned, Jordy Fernandez, he ends up with the Denver Nuggets for a little while. But through all that, they're back here together. And like that kind of connection between two people in such a random kind of way, I think it speaks to, you know, the intrigue that there is with the Jordy Fernandez and how he thinks differently. And Mike Brown has gravitated towards that too. Anything else on Jordy? Because, I mean, he seems like you think about, you know, the defensive side of things, there's innovation, there's offensive innovation. He's a player coach. He's accountable for his own actions. And obviously players nowadays, they appreciate that. He can talk to players. He can talk to the media. Is there anything else we're missing? He seems like a great candidate.
First of all, he was born in Badalona. Badalona is considered the birthplace of basketball, not just in Spain, but also even in Europe. Spanish NBA players like Ricky Rubio, like Rudy Fernandez, he was playing in NBA a few years, and Rudy and Ricky they raised in Juventud in Badalona, yeah. in the Juventud. He was born in a city of basketball, the first of all, but and after that, I mean, he has been a very adventurous man, a very daring guy, because in 2003, when he was 20, he went to Netherlands. He started working washing dishes. He didn't even know any single word in English, and yeah. he was able to learn the English by his own. And from that point, I mean, he was able to learn English. He worked as a teacher as a university teacher in the Netherlands, in Norway as well. Because as I've mentioned before, he has a doctorate in psychology in Spain. He studied a degree in physical education, and his journey in USA started in 2007, because he went to the Impact Basketball Academy to work with Mike Brown from yeah. 2007. I mean, nobody was paying him for anything.
Sure.
And then in 2009, I mean, Mike Brown was impressed about the capability of Jordy Fernandez of working with the details. He was impressed with the passion of Jordy Fernandez, and Mike Brown told him, Jordy, come to Cleveland one week, and was like a testing week for him.
Yeah.
And the organization and Cleveland Cavaliers was impressed with the capability of Jordy Fernandez to work with the players, to pay attention to the details. That was the start of all.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, his grind through his NBA journey, you know, coming to North America and then just like building and slowly building his way to the coach he is now, and the wealth of experience working with the Cavaliers, the Nikola Jokic's Denver Nuggets, and now going to his role with the Sacramento Kings. Like, he's gone through the mud, so to speak, to get to where he is now. And Masai Ujiri has talked so much about wanting to restore the culture around the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a culture fit. Right. Just from that point. He had to go through so much to get to where he is now. And that's what Chris Boucher has mentioned on Hustle Plays. Like, we have to get back to, you know, get our lunch pail, put our hard hat on and get back into the gym and making things work. And Jordy Fernandez, he gets an opportunity like this. I don't think he's going to mess it up. I'll put it that way.
Toronto is a very cultural, very multicultural city, a very open-minded yeah. city. So I think if you are able to make a bet on a European coach, I think that it would be a good thing. I think that it's a thing that fits with the Toronto philosophy, with the Raptors philosophy.
Tony, this was great, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you to you for thinking of me. And let's see. I am looking forward to Jordy Fernandez be the new head coach.
I want it for you too. It was unfortunate the way things went with Juancho. All right, everyone. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.